Steeler Nation, how are we doing? Thank you guys so very much for tuning in on yet another edition of the Steeler Culture Podcast, where we break down Pittsburgh Steelers football, as this episode is presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. Steelers Nation, it is already mid-May. The year is already just going by, and we are past rookie minicamp. The rookies have done their minicamp. That is done and out the way, and now in 1 week's time, we will be on our way to OTAs.
Yes, it's been a very interesting weekend for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Somewhat newsworthy. Nothing groundbreaking. Nothing that's going to change the foundation of the organization. But there has been some news, obviously, rookie minicamp. There's a lot to talk about there in regards to the rookies. Mostly the guy getting the most attention, Drew Aller out of Penn State. Not just from the media. Not just from the fans. But most importantly, Mike McCarthy. He has garnered a lot of Aller's attention, which is a good thing. We have no update on Aaron Rodgers, and we're not going to hold too much time on that topic because I don't want to repeat ourselves.
I'm tired of beating already dead horse, okay? Yes. But we will talk about what is going on with that situation.
And the best news of all, Chris Boswell is now extended for 4 years.
Good old number nine, man. He finally gets the bag. He finally gets a well-deserved and earned extension, man. Well-deserved.
Now tied with Brandon Aubrey as the highest-paid kicker in the National Football League. He deserves this 100%. We all know what Boswell, and we're going to start it here. We all know what Boswell has done for this team. If you've watched any bit of Steelers football the last decade.
Since 2015, since he has been a Pittsburgh Steeler, this man has been as consistent can be, and just as reliable.
And outside of one off year in 2018, which that season altogether was incredibly off, Boswell has been unbelievably reliable. He has been consistent. This guy is just a legitimate godsend. You know, when we say Wizard of Boz, like, he is literally a wizard from out of nowhere, because this guy was a godsend to the team after injuries to Sean Sweezum and then Garrett Huntley. In preseason, Josh Scobie. Yes. Who remembers that?
I'd rather not.
This is the trouble we had to go through to go get Chris Boswell.
Yeah, we traded for a Jaguars kicker, and he was not good. I remember that Thursday night football game. Michael Vick started that game. Scobie wasn't good. I mean, it cost him his job, and he never kicked in the NFL again, which opened the floodgates to Chris Boswell coming to the Steel City, and the Steelers have never looked back.
No, they have not. That was 11 years. I was almost 11 years ago.
My God. And he has been literally a godsend for this Steelers football team. This man has given us our last playoff win.
Yes.
He has 10 years ago.
He has 3 career games of 6 field goals made, one of them being our last playoff victory versus the Chiefs.
That's right. When the Killer Bees couldn't score, Boswell could.
Yes.
When the offense can't score, Boswell can.
Yes, and he has been very, very reliable. He's been literally the most efficient scorer on this football team in so many years.
And honestly, and this may be a hot topic, but the best kicker in the NFL.
100%.
You could throw Brandon Aubrey up there, of course, and he got a well-deserved extension by the Cowboys, but Boswell was right up there.
No, the way this guy is so consistent and how he's so accurate in 50 or more yard field goal attempts, and how consistent he is at making those field goals and in the circumstances that is required for him to make it. And you know, he kicked a 60-yarder versus the Jets, which is a career-long form in week 1 last year.
And since 2021, no kicker has made more 50-plus-yard field goals than Boswell's 43.
Exactly. 43 50 or more yard field goals made.
52 overall in his career as a Steeler. That is the most for a Steelers kicker. When it's all said and done for Chris Boswell, this guy very well could be the greatest Steelers kicker of all time.
Dude, when we went through the trials and the failures and the unfortunate watch of Matt Canada's offense, of Randy Fickner's offense, of Ben's last year's, where his arm and his legs were completely shot. Mitch, Kenny, Mason, Russ, Rodgers,
Arthur Smith.
Like, bro, this guy, like, speaking it now, it gives me so much appreciation for Boswell that this guy has now signed a 4-year extension, $28 million, 7-year average, and it keeps him under contract through the 2030 season.
Exactly, bro.
So Boswell, much deserved, best kicker in football, and I'm glad we got this over and done with. We knew it was going to happen. He was going to be a pending free agent after the season. No longer, and now the focus after extending Boswell is the much well-deserved extensions of many of the 2023 draft picks.
That's right.
Most importantly, Joey Porter Jr. And then following that, Nick Herbig. Following that, Darnell Washington. Following that, Keanu Benton. Following that, anyone else is up for grabs.
No doubt about it.
But now they can put that focus to those guys and who they need to extend from that class, because that class,
it's lives up to their value, dude. I mean, like, those guys are valuable starters. They bring a good impact to the team, JPJ especially, and you add Darnell and Nick Herbig to that part. Like, those guys, and you can't Benton. let those guys walk. Like, you drafted those guys for a reason. They've lived up to their value. They've exceeded their value, honestly,
yeah,
where they were selected. They got to stick around.
But core players to this team.
And just like Boswell, like, he had to stay. He had to get extended. And Boswell was first in line, as he should have been. And now that is done. That is fulfilled. And Boswell will be here through 2030, excuse me.
Well-deserved for Chris Boswell. That is for sure. There's no one. Yes, he's 35 years old. I don't care if he's 50. If he can still kick 50-yard field goals and win his football games, and if it means that he's going to get us our next playoff win by himself alone, I don't care. Boswell can do it. We have all the faith and love and appreciation for Chris Boswell. Glad that he is going to be a Steeler for the future.
Special teams matters, guys. Just look at Chris Boswell for the perfect example of that.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. There's many teams still looking for their kickers. So the fact that we got Boswell and he's been as great as he's been for the last decade or so,
and we lock him down, then we're good to go.
Good move by Colin. Good move by Boz. Glad that he is going to be sticking around. Now let's get into the OTAs factor. The OTAs don't start until May 18th.
Next Monday.
Which honestly could be a bit of an idea of a date that we could finally get Aaron Rodgers in the organization to sign his contract. Because I don't think he's going to retire. If he's going to retire, he would have retired by now. So it's all about getting him in the organization and signing that stupid contract that will make him the Steelers starting quarterback for another year.
Hoorah.
We thought that was going to be this weekend because according to Ian Rappaport, he was expected to visit and talk to the Steelers this weekend as he was in Pittsburgh. And it was likely that he was going to play for the team this season, this upcoming season. He also mentioned there was no agreement between the two parties at the time of his tweet, which was, what, Wednesday, Thursday night?
Pretty much, yes.
He was in Pittsburgh, but he did not meet with the Steelers. Why he was in Pittsburgh, I don't know. I don't care. But he did not meet with the Steelers. It was reported that he was likely to meet with the Steelers over the weekend. He did not. He did not have any interactions with the team. He did not go to the facility. Nothing in regards to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers and them coming to an agreement or any sort of in-person discussion. None of that. I'm tired of this. I'm so sick of it.
So, like,
I hate it.
No, like, exactly. Like, there's not really an update. That's just where the situation is right now. You know what I'm saying? That's just where we're at.
Right.
Rappaport reported what he reported. Now, whether he was fed that information, he, you know, like, obviously the sources didn't back it up because A-Rod didn't step foot into the Steelers facility. Schefter said it on Pat McAfee show. Brooke Pryor said it earlier today. They did not see Aaron Rodgers. He did not step foot in the facility.
The media doesn't know anything because Aaron Rodgers isn't telling anybody anything.
So it sounds like to me, like, whatever is being reported out there, like, you really got to take it for a grain of salt, even with some of the more marquee top reporters out there. It seems like they're just taking whatever is fed to them and just throwing it out there as news.
God,
without any legit evidence to back it up.
Remember in February at the Combine when Omar Khan mentioned we don't think it's going to drag out as long as it did last year? Bro, we are already in mid-May, mid-May. And now we're going to be hitting June. June 2nd is the start of mandatory minicamp. So it's going to get into the later stages of OTAs, but it's going to become mandatory minicamp, which means everybody's got to show up. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to show up if he's not under contract. But if last year is an indication of when he will, it'll probably be around or after that time.
Deja vu, basically.
Pretty much.
Deja vu. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's no secret that he's not really fond of OTAs. Even when he was a Jet, I think it was his last year, if I'm not mistaken. He was in Egypt for the OTAs when that happened for the Jets. Up until, he had to be there for mandatory minicamp. And last year, he didn't make it to the team. He didn't sign on the team up until the due date of mandatory minicamp, so it just seems like it's just going to happen again.
Yeah, same thing, different year.
And they're just going to...
Sounds like the Steelers to me.
They're basically running it back. The only difference is Mike McCarthy is the head coach, and they get to partner up once again. Considering that we're still talking about it, and that's the expectation, it doesn't seem like Aaron Rodgers is pending retirement.
No, he's not. I don't think he ever was. You know, I'll put it this way. Aaron Rodgers is a great teammate. As you saw last year, you know, versus the Jets, versus the Packers, and you seen, like, after the game where he met up with players and all that, they all had great things to say about Aaron Rodgers, which is it says a lot about his character, and it really shows that what the media was saying about Rodgers and his, you know, locker room character or his personality mm-hmm. as a teammate, right. that was all false. Last year completely slammed that down. So I got to give Aaron Rodgers credit for that, and there's not one person from the Steelers locker room or organization had anything bad to say about their experience with Aaron Rodgers last year. What I want from Aaron Rodgers is he's a great teammate. That's great. You got two young quarterbacks that could absolutely use your veteran input. And Will Howard already got a lot of that last year, which is a good thing. You got this young guy, Drew Allard, that needs a lot of fucking work. A lot. Like, I would love for Aaron Rodgers, like, if he intends to play, which I do believe he does, I would love for him to be there as soon as he can to be a part of OTAs or whatever the hell offseason programs they're running so that he can put a lot of his veteran instinct and his input in a lot of the young guys that they've brought in. 10 new rookies, mostly on offense. 2 new young quarterbacks, and Will Howard, who hasn't seen a single snap yet, and Drew Allard, that needs a lot of work and did see a lot of work so far in minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why he is just doing deja vu. Better yet, I don't know why the Steelers are wasting their time on this guy.
Yeah, they're just...
It's not more so towards Aaron Rodgers, which is what my issue is. It's to the Steelers. Like, tell them to fuck off already and take a damn year for once in your goddamn organization. Take a year and give it to the young guys and see what you got. Because you don't know if you don't give them the opportunity. And no, Aaron Rodgers coming back to the Steelers whenever he's actually going to sign the contract and meet with the team for once isn't going to do a damn thing for this team this year. I'm sorry. It's not going to advance this team. It's not going to further a ceiling. It's not. Do they have a better coaching staff? Do they have more offensive minds? Do they have better weapons for Aaron Rodgers? Yes, yes, yes. Does Aaron Rodgers up the ceiling and up the NT for the season? No, no, no. What's the point?
I mean, we've beaten a dead horse throughout the whole offseason talking about Aaron Rodgers and just the possibility of him coming back and just our preference of going with the young cats and Howard and even Aller for this year just to see what you have at the quarterback position. Just a year older Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't speak excitement to me. It doesn't. And it doesn't give me any more higher expectations. Honestly, with Aaron Rodgers signing back to the Steelers, To me, as a fan, I have nothing to look forward to because I'm going to be expecting the same outcome.
Yeah.
Why should I expect something differently? Despite the new coach, the new head coach and the coaching staff and the offensive weapons and just the surround system that Aaron Rodgers is going to have. Like, yes, it's better. I can't deny that. But I don't expect Aaron Rodgers a year older to be any better.
Right.
I just don't see it.
Well, better yet, if we're speaking so fondly on the surround system, how about you give that to a young guy and give them the chance?
Pretty much. Like, what's wrong with that?
It sounds like the perfect surround system, right? Not for a 42-year-old guy that can't move in the pocket anymore.
Pretty much. Why continue to wait?
Like, to me, him coming back, which he inevitably will, him coming back is just, oh my God, we're going to run with this shit again.
Basically, the principle of the Steelers' philosophy and the mindset, it doesn't change. It never was. Even if Tomlin didn't step down, it never was.
And I don't know who is mostly to blame. It could be McCarthy, could be Khan, and my personal opinion, it could absolutely be Art the Clown.
I think it is Art Rooney.
But Jesus God Almighty, just move on. They're not, but that's just this now, entire saga.
They just continue to cater to Aaron Rodgers for one reason or another. I mean, it's just simple as that. Just move on. You could have just given them a deadline saying, listen, like, this is the deadline. This is when we want an answer. If you have nothing for us, we're going to move on. Simple as that. That's business. You are conducting business right there and then. That's just how it should be done. Not continuing to cater for a 42, soon to be 43-year-old quarterback who is doing God knows what, probably golfing right now as we speak, in the city of Pittsburgh. Like, come on, man. Just move on.
He's already getting warmed up for that all for January, isn't he? He's already getting the golf swing ready for January, isn't he? Because that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to lead this franchise to. Another inevitable January exit.
I expect nothing different. I don't expect a playoff push. I don't expect a playoff win if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. If you run with the same principle and philosophy despite the different faces, why should I expect a different outcome?
Exactly.
That's just the way, if the principle is the same, then that's the issue. That's just the way I see it. I don't know about you guys, but that's just my mindset.
No, I agree. That's how I see it as well.
But, I mean, we'll see when ever Aaron Rodgers decides to finally sign.
I hate talking about it because I feel like we've talked about it too many times. It seems like every like 2 or 3 weeks, this guy comes into the news and nothing ever happens, which I'm not surprised it hasn't. It's just one of those things where it's like a constant reminder that this organization is holding on to someone they shouldn't, and it just makes them look more sad. It's to me, it's just like, bro, move on. I hate talking about it. I hate hearing about it. If I had to give you a prediction on when he's going to actually sign, it's probably going to be around June 2nd, which is when mandatory minicamp starts. Or it could be after.
I mean, literally just about everybody, whether it's us or the top reporters trying to figure out what's going on with A-Rod, they're literally saying the same thing, like nothing's changed. So, like, what are we doing here?
Well, nothing's changed because it's the same thing as last year.
So, what are we doing?
He's not going to stick around for programs he doesn't have to be a part of.
What are we doing? Come on.
Anyway, yeah, we would much rather just give the opportunity to Will Howard and eventually a guy like Drew Aller. You guys already know our opinion on Drew Aller, but he's a Steelers quarterback. Obviously, we want him to succeed because if he succeeds, Mike McCarthy succeeds as a coach, as a quarterback builder, which got him the job, and thus we might have our guy. We don't know that yet. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of time for Aller. Okay, this isn't an overnight thing. It's one of those Rome wasn't built in a day sort of deals, right? Drew Aller saw a lot of attention from specifically Mike McCarthy in rookie minicamp, which was a good thing because clearly, that's why McCarthy was here. Clearly, that's why Aller was selected. It's no shock to me that McCarthy loves a guy like Aller and his ceiling, because he does have a great ceiling. Tom Arth, he goes all the way back to the Akron days.
When he tried to recruit him, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that connection. And that's what Aller pretty much had to say in regards to his first couple days at OTAs. And he was pretty much praising the coaching staff. He's like, they have a great coaching staff here. Tom Arth, Coach McCarthy, Coach Brian Angelico, our offensive coordinator. He says they're doing a really good job at helping him determine those goals and help him reach certain goals as his development for being a quarterback, right? Clearly, rookie minicamp, he's the only quarterback that's going to be getting reps. Once we reach OTAs in about a week, then Mason will be there. Will Howard will be there, which is better for a guy like him because he can really learn a lot from those two guys,
right?
And their mindsets and what they've learned and all that nonsense, right? It's going to be a lot of good for Aller because he needs a lot of work. One of the biggest things about Aller coming out of college that needed work and McCarthy wasted no time in fixing was indeed his footwork. His footwork is terrible. Coming out of Penn State, it was terrible. And that's a lot of blame towards James Franklin. James Franklin was not a good college coach. He was a great recruiter, but he could not develop a quarterback. And that really hurt Aller and his goals. That really hurt Aller and his development in college. 4 years at Penn State, not once did we see any progression. I always say you're only as good as coaching. And the coaching at Penn State wasn't good enough, clearly. But regarding his footwork, Aller had to mention that for right now, it's a lot with my lower half, cleaning up footwork, getting used to the terminology that they're talking about, and that's incorporated with this offense. It's a little different than what I've been used to. I've just got to take it one day at a time and find ways to be more consistent at it and improve on it each day. So clearly he's working a lot on the fundamentals, which is the biggest thing with Allers. We know what he has that speaks of what he could be great, which is his size. He has the prototypical NFL size. He has some mobility to him. He has a great arm. The ball shoots out of his wrist. It's a flick-a-day wrist. Right? Like, he has all that to him already, which makes him a great student right then and there. It's everything here and everything in his legs that need a lot of work, which is what McCarthy is getting him working on immediately and is not wasting any time.
That's what he needed to. That's one of the weak points was his footwork at Penn State, hence why his progression just never was developed. Whether that was a part of Aller's game and just something that he didn't work on throughout his time at Penn State, or just the coaches didn't help benefit his play style, whether that was Franklin or some other coach. I mean, it could be a mixed bag of both.
It could be, but I'm going to put a lot of it on coaching because the resume for Penn State quarterbacks lately doesn't turn out great. So
no.
You got to put a lot of that blame on James Franklin for sure.
No, you're right about that. And McCarthy pretty much jumping right out the gate and having his footwork be one of the first things to attack quickly and try to improve, it's no shock to me because it's something that Mike McCarthy, I mean, he's been around legendary quarterbacks basically his entire career. There's no doubt about that. So he knows a thing or two about looking at a quarterback and just seeing what needs worked on and what they can continue to improve on.
Right.
Footwork is definitely one of those. I mean, you need proper footwork as far as foot placement and just planting your feet, having a good stance in order to throw the football.
It plays a lot into the throwing motion or the throwing power or even the accuracy of the football, right? It goes into a lot. It's like some serious fundamentals that goes into that, which is what they're really working on him a lot with, which is good because that was 100% necessary. Once they got that down, it can all be about mentals.
The footwork isn't just the sole focus that he's still got to work on, of course. It's reading the defense, it's accuracy issues, it's, you know, controlling the football and not causing many mistakes on the football field, right? But getting right out the gate to focus on the footwork, again, you got to work one thing at a time.
Right.
And that's what the Steelers are doing. That's what McCarthy and Tom Arth and Brian Angelico, that's what they're trying to do with Drew Aller, is the footwork right out the gate. So one thing at a time, and we'll just see what his progression continues to do heading into OTAs.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, going from the beginning to eventually like July and August months when we get into training camp and see how much of that is really improved, and or even like his throwing motion and things like that. You know, those are basics that are going to be very telling once we get into the more important months when we get into actual programs that get closer into the season. It's a start. That's what rookie minicamp is all about. There were videos going around and people freaking out about his footwork being terrible and slow. That's the whole point of the drill.
And
it's
supposed
to look like
that. He said himself right here, it's a little bit different than what I'm used to, but I just got to take it one day at a time. He's basically having to relearn what he needs to do compared to his college days when he was the starting quarterback for Penn State.
I wouldn't be surprised if McCarthy said, hey, forget everything you learned. We're going to start from the ground up. We're going right back to level zero.
Yeah, sometimes like that's what needs to be done. That's what has to happen sometimes, especially going into the NFL level and trying to be the best quarterback that you can, especially a ceiling like Drew Aller's. They're trying to reach that ceiling. Sometimes you got to relearn something that you already learned.
Right.
It's not necessarily a bad thing.
And I really hope they do reach it because he does have a great ceiling, and I want this coaching staff to work out because it can be an upgrade over what Tomlin and what his coaching staff was, which was incredibly weak and, of course, small. I want it to work out, so I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm really rooting for the success of the coaching staff and eventually what they incorporate into their players, because if that succeeds, the team succeeds, and that's all we want at the end of the day.
Pretty much.
So I'm hoping this all pans out, but McCarthy, already working with him, that's a good sign. That's a good thing. Can he actually develop him? This is going to be very telling with McCarthy. It's the reason he got the job. You know, months from now, years from now, better on, is when we're really going to get a good estimate of just how well McCarthy is as a coach and as a quarterback builder. It's going to be very telling. And Aller is a real good first test for McCarthy, along with Will Howard.
Even being taken as high as he was with the 76th pick in the third round, I still think it's too rich for a guy like Drew Aller from what he did at college. But it's obvious that McCarthy and just the Steelers coaching staff, they see something in him. They see the ceiling. They're trying to get the most out of it. And I can only hope and pray that they do get the most out of it. But it's obviously going to have to take a lot of time. Again, the footwork is the first thing that they got to work on and right out the gate to focus on. But so is everything else as far as his accuracy, reading the defense, all that stuff, right? All the negatives that he has to work on. Just being consistent. I can only hope and pray that they really get the most out of it.
It's baby steps. It's taking it one thing at a time.
But you got to be extremely patient with him. Extremely.
Right. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how he looks once we get into the training camp months. I'm actually looking very forward to it because that'll be very telling on the coaching staff and what they can do in developing our next guy if we do have it on the roster.
And see, just right here, talking about this has me more excited than Aaron Rodgers coming
100%.
Out. At least with Aller, you know, this coming out and Aller working in training camp. And of course, you know, you incorporate Will Howard OTAs in training camp and whatnot. With those two competing and trying to progress and get better despite not having a snap, that gives me more excitement and something to look forward to for the upcoming season.
Because it's about how quick up to speed can these guys get to the NFL level, and how effective is the new coaching staff in the ways that they're teaching these young guys. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see the same story for another year. I want to see what this coaching staff is truly made of. I want to see what these two young guys can do when given an actual opportunity, how quick up to the NFL game they can get to, and how fast they can learn, and how they can adapt all that onto the field. That's what I care about. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers.
No, neither do I. And yeah, they can continue to learn from it behind Aaron Rodgers with development? I suppose so. But then again, like, the idea is you're going to be drafting a quarterback in 2027.
Don't you already have Aaron Rodgers' mentality with McCarthy, a coaching staff anyway?
I would assume you do.
You
right?
have the you don't have everything, because there's things Rodgers can teach them that McCarthy can't. Because Rodgers is the quarterback, McCarthy's just the coach. But even still, like, if you're going to hype up McCarthy as his quarterback builder and that he built up Aaron Rodgers, why the fuck do you need Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, why delay it? And go with ideally three unknowns if you draft a quarterback early in next draft class, rather than just see what you have right now and that you have more of an idea of, like, what you can do for 2027. That's just the way I see it.
I agree, but...
But, like, the Steelers are going to do Steelers things, SOS, same old Steelers.
Yes, but let's talk about one of the targets for, eventually, Aaron Rodgers, Jeremy Bernard. Jeremy Bernard is a very exciting and definitely my favorite draft pick of this previous draft class in 2026 in Pittsburgh, in the Heinz Field parking lot, where Three Rivers Stadium once stood, by the way. Jeremy Bernard, you know, you look at him, you look at his characteristics, you see what he does on the football field. It speaks of a perfect Steelers receiver, or he may not be the flashiest guy, but he's gritty. He's tough. He'll get those extra yards. He's a good route runner. He finds open space, but he's also incredibly selfless. He is a leader. He is a good character you want on the field or in the locker room. And that's what Jeremy Bernard pretty much said about himself when talking to the media after minicamp. He says, "I bring a very reliable guy, a very selfless guy. A guy that's always joyful, smiling, and wants the best for his teammates. He wants them to succeed." God, that reminds me a lot of Hines Ward. I'm not saying this guy's going to be like 86, but from the characteristics, that just speaks Hines Ward to me. Because growing up as a Steelers fan, that's what Hines Ward brought to the table. He didn't care about stats, but he did everything with a smile on his face. Whoever scored a touchdown, he had a smile on his face. When he scored a touchdown, he had a smile on his face. When he knocked out Ed Reed on Monday Night Football, he had a smile on his face.
Well, like Hines Ward, he had a path. He had to carve his own path because he was a third-round quarterback. He was a third-round player coming out of Georgia who was a quarterback who converted to wide receiver. He wasn't supposed to be the star wide receiver that he ended up being for the Steelers. That was supposed to be Troy Edwards, who Cowher took in the first round. He didn't live up to the pedigree. He didn't perform well. So Cowher benched him and said, "Ward, go out there and do your thing. Yeah. This is your opportunity." And Ward literally ran away with
it. Well, it's weird because Bernard kind of has somewhat of a similar story where he was originally a guard. A guard.
Yeah.
And then he transferred to three different schools before finally landing at Alabama his last 2 years, had weak quarterback play, and still put up good numbers and still got him a second round grade where the Steelers trade up to get him. I'm very excited about what Bernard can bring to the table as a character, as a football player, as a mindset, as a Steeler. Speaks it to a T.
He just brings great work ethic, reliability. The route running is definitely the best thing about him, if not his hands. Hardly drops a football. And if you look at his snap count from his 2 years at Alabama, the guy hardly missed a snap. Rarely missed a snap and rarely missed a game at that.
Yeah.
Like, it goes to show his dependability, his durability, and just how reliable and capable he really is. That's what you want in a wide receiver, especially for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
You look at the recent resume of Steelers wide receivers, a lot of prima donnas. It hasn't panned out, obviously. They're not even in the league anymore. Let's be real here.
Yeah, where's Claypool? Where's Deontay? Where's AB?
When you look at
AB's better than Julio, by the way.
Yes, yes, he is. AB, best receiver in 2010s. Don't at me.
Argue with a fucking wall.
Yeah, Atlanta. But Bernard, like, he is just selfless. He brings a lot of work ethic, and he is a guy that whatever you ask him to do, he's going to do it. He's a guy that carved his path to Alabama and ended up being one of Bama's best targets, most reliable targets, hence why he was taken in the second round. The Steelers had to trade up to get him.
Dude, he showed more than Ryan Williams, who was coming into his second year.
Yeah.
And Ryan Williams had this great freshman season. Burst onto the scene, right? Big playmaker. He couldn't even vote yet. That's how young he was.
Yeah, pretty much.
But he didn't really live up too much. And thus, Bernard had to be that number one guy and that reliable receiver, and that's exactly what he is. He's also always trying to learn, which is something he also mentioned. He said, "Coming in and being a sponge and learning as much as I can so I can be the best pro when game time does come is what I want to do." Speaks like a perfect receiver for me. It's like we finally landed a good one. And when I mean a good one, I mean an actual altogether great receiver that's also not a shithead.
No. And when it came to the day two of the draft, when it came to receivers that were available after they took Ihonatiore in the first round, after the Lemon situation, Bernard was the number one receiver that me and Dan here really wanted.
Right.
And we are glad that the Steelers were aggressive and were able to trade up and able to acquire him because Bernard is that damn good. He's that damn capable. He's got that much talent and that much potential.
Yes, I'm excited about Jeremy Bernard. I'm also very excited about Jennings Dunker, third round pick out of Iowa. former right tackle, now moving to supposedly left guard. I think that is indeed the plan, that he will be left guard. And thus, where does Ihonachor go? Probably right tackle, because that's exactly where he played at Arizona State. So why would you want to take him away from a spot he's not comfortable with? Thing is, with Dunker, you know, he was always going to have to switch to guard because of his arm length, and it fits his skill set better. He does have very minor experience at left guard. He played that, I think, in 2022. That was the only year he ever saw guard time. I think he had like 50 left guard reps and 80 right guard reps before finally moving to right tackle his last few years. That's it. So it's been a while since he played the left guard position. But like a glove, is he going to fit? Because he's a hell of a player. He is. Will he be day one starter? That's up for grabs, because you got to look at Brock Hoffman. You got to look at Spencer Anderson. Maybe they want to put Dylan Cook at guard because, you know, Dylan Cook, I thought he was worthy enough of sticking around and playing left tackle. If they want to put him somewhere on the line, because I think he did show enough to have a starting role somewhere, maybe they want to put him at guard. If the idea is to have each Ihonachor at right tackle and then Fatano eventually over at left.
Yeah.
So Dunker might not be the day one starter, but long term he will be the future left guard.
Yeah, that's the ideal right there. If he's not the day one starter, I wouldn't panic. I wouldn't really be worried, because a little bit of development and just wait wouldn't be the worst thing for Dunker. I mean, Mason McCormick, granted, he was a fourth-round selection, and he wasn't supposed to start his rookie season. He didn't start day one. But when he did step in, when it was his time, when he's given the nod, Mason McCormick filled in like a glove, and the Steelers never looked back.
And look at this guy. He said, I've been working on doing left-handed stances the whole time leading up to the combine. Then after the combine, just in case, I was playing left guard because I hadn't done it in forever. So I'm glad I worked on my left-hand stances.
So he's already preparing for it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's already getting ready.
He mentions the speed of guard is a little bit faster than tackle. That makes pass pro a little easier and run blocking a little harder. It's just a little faster. At Iowa, we played our tackles like guards anyway. Just play really physical.
And that's what he brings.
Well, he plays fast anyway. Like, you watch him on tape, you see how he gets up to the second level, or how he pulls, or just how he blocks. It's just quick and physical. So I think he's going to fit perfectly.
He's just a strong guy, dude.
Yes.
Literally, he throws hay barrels for fun.
Yes, he does. He's the kind of guy that you would sit by a bonfire, listen to Outlaw Country, and chug down a 30-pack.
Sounds like a damn good time.
Sounds like my typical Friday night.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I'm very excited to see Jennings Dunker eventually at left guard, or whatever guard position they want to put him, but most likely left guard, since that's where they got him initially, which is a good indication of where you think he's going to be lining up. One of the more exciting rookies from that draft class was actually the very last pick of the draft class. That is Eli Heidenreich, running back slash receiver out of Navy, which is exactly what the Steelers have him listed on the roster. He is a running back slash receiver. Now, in regards to talking about his route running and his pass catching as a running back, this is what he mentioned. He said, you look at the running backs around the league right now, especially the best ones, they do it both at a high level, which is route running, which is being a receiving threat, which is his biggest characteristic as a football player. Is he is mostly a receiving threat. He's a receiving back. He's someone you can chuck it down to in the backfield. He'll get you the first down with some extra blocks and probably get up the field with his electric speed and playmaking ability. Mm-hmm. You want to put him in the slot. He's a reliable guy with real quick feet and good route running ability for playing the running back position. Now, as a running back, is he going to be like a high-level inside zone runner, like in between the tackles? I don't know. Is he going to be as efficient as like a CMC? I don't think so. But as a receiving threat, I think that's where he's really going to find his role with the team and with the offense and potentially making the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he's a prototypical receiving threat. His stats back it up. His resume at Navy backs it up. He's just very capable. Right. And if you keep in mind, the Steelers, of course, lost Kenneth Gainwell to Tampa Bay, and they signed Rico Dowdle from the Panthers to be the backup to Jalen Warren, and both of them have receiving back capabilities. They can for sure do it. But maybe they view Heidenreich as that more ideal receiving back that they want to use in certain scenarios, certain plays, certain packages that they want to incorporate and try to utilize. I mean, Heidenreich definitely brings that to the table.
Yes.
Just with his athleticism, his ability, and reliability at that too.
Well, everything he learned at Navy, you know, from the handoff to the route running ability, like he's really incorporating all that into now his hometown team that he's getting the great opportunity to play for. So he's going to be taking that. He's going to be putting in the work, and that's what he's all about. He's like, at the time, I was selected. I just took it all in. Now it's time to get to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it's time to make this team better, to contribute, add value. That's the biggest thing. So that's what I'm looking to do here is just that.
Damn straight.
That's what he's all about. He's here to work. He's here to contribute. He's here to make the roster. He's here to make an impact.
I mean, that's what he had to do starting off at Navy. Again, we talk about work ethic with the other players like Bernard and Donker. Heidenreich's one of those guys too. The guy was a zero-star recruit going into Navy, and he carved a role for himself for Navy and that put himself in the Navy record books. Yeah. Like this guy carved a role and did what he did, and I can see him doing the same thing at the NFL level. I mean, he is talented enough, and I do think that there is a role for him at the NFL level. How immediate? That's yet to be determined. We're going to have to see some aspects of that in OTA's training camp, of course, preseason. But I think Heidenreich, he definitely has a role here on this football team. Primarily, maybe immediately as a receiving back, if they want to start him there. But I could also see him making the transition to receiver if he gets the route running done.
Definitely. And then guess what? I think our depth of receiver might not be too worrisome because we got someone like that can contribute anywhere.
Possibly, yeah.
Or as of now, immediately, based off his role on the team, it'll be interesting to see where they put him and how he runs along with everything and where they want to put him initially and how he contributes. And that'll really tell his role down the road, especially once we get into training camp. But as of right now, man, listen, Caleb.
It's going to be interesting when it comes to the addition of Heidenreich because we know that Warren and Dowdle are run back one and two. They're 1-2 punch. But you add Heidenreich, who has more receiving back ability than Caleb Johnson ever did.
And special teams upside, which Caleb Johnson does not offer any of those.
Caleb Johnson is only a one-trick pony. He's effective at running the football, but he's not exactly a guy with burst. And we knew this coming out of Iowa. We knew he wasn't the fastest guy or the flashiest guy, but he was a very dependable back at Iowa. And game speed is faster than, you know, regular speed. You know what I'm saying?
It's 40 time. So on tape, he looks faster than what his 40 shows. But
as far as roles and just like looking at the roster right now, Caleb Johnson's really going to have to bust his ass. He's really going to have to work for a roster spot for playing time on the offense. Because if Heidenreich comes in here and outworks Caleb Johnson, and Caleb Johnson's a guy, keep in mind, was praised for his work ethic just last year for rookie minicamp, if you recall.
Yep.
If Heidenreich outworks Caleb very well might be on the chopping block just in his second season. I wouldn't be surprised unless they want to keep four running backs. It's not out the realm of possibility.
Well, then hold on. You have Nowakowski who can also play fullback.
He's listed
as a fullback.
That's right. So you can't keep five backs. I don't think they would do that.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if they make the room to do so. You have to make some cuts on certain depth. I don't know if you want to do that.
No.
So what did they do then?
Well, it's just a matter of, you know, who can outperform the other. It's as simple as that.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, like, iron sharpens iron. You know, competition gets the best out of people. But just looking at the roles for these players, Caleb Johnson, he's really going to have to stride. He's really going to have to work.
Absolutely.
Simply put.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that all turns out. But this is just the beginning start of the offseason programs for these rookies. So it's good to see that they're obviously getting their career started. They're getting their feet wet. Rookie minicamp's passed us. Now, a week from now, we'll start OTAs. And based off what they do and where they contribute and how much they've learned, it's all going to depend on how much more of a role they get once training camp comes around, which will be here before you know it.
That's right.
And I would imagine Aaron Rodgers will be here for that, I think. Until then, who cares? Will Howard quarterback one, and let's just move forward. But I'm definitely excited about a lot of these rookies. So it'll be interesting to see.
Dude,
you know,
10 rookies, bro.
10 rookies to get excited about.
6 of them are already signed. We got 4 more to do.
And one last thing, folks. The NFL schedule release will take place this Thursday, May 14th. And a quick spoiler, the Steelers will not be opening their season on Sunday Night Football. That will be the Cowboys versus the Giants for the 100th billionth time this decade.
They got to get John Harbaugh on primetime, bro. It's his debut as Giants head coach.
Well, it's also Mike Tomlin's debut on Football Night in America, so I'm very interested to see what Tomlin's going to say in regards to Harbaugh getting a new coaching role.
That's right.
Coach C, man,
he's got a new job.
I'm more curious to see his thoughts on that than the Cowboys and Giants again. But the Steelers will not be opening on Sunday Night Football, so in case you were curious, no, they will not. What game to open with, we'll find out Thursday night.
Do they open at home? They hardly do that. Do they do that this year?
Hasn't it happened once or twice since 2014?
I think twice. I don't like to remember the last time against the 49ers.
I would not
like to remember that.
No.
If we open up the season at home, hopefully it's a much better outcome. Fingers crossed on that.
I don't know. We'll see. But yes, the schedule release will be out this week, so obviously I'm excited to see that, and then thus we can really start getting a bit of an idea of how to schedule things for, you know, for a lot of us that want to get out there and go to a game and got to schedule vacations or, you know, all kinds of good stuff, right? Anything that affects you in your personal life when in regards to the Steelers are trying to go to a game or enjoy yourselves, we'll all learn those answers or have those answers come Thursday. So
for sure,
very looking excited to that. And we'll see you in thus that night when we get the schedule release, and we'll probably give our predictions as well. Otherwise, I'm excited to see how the schedule is going to pan out.
Big time, man.
But let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. How do you guys feel about everything we discussed today in regards to Boswell getting extended, Aaron Rodgers and the impending arrival, which could probably be next month, and rookie minicamp passes? A lot that we covered today, so thank you guys for tuning in. Otherwise, let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. And at the end of the day, here we go, Steelers.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Peace!